الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من استطاع منكم أن تموت في المدينة فليمت بها. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected and honorable ulama ikram, elders, brothers in Islam, young friends and sisters who may possibly be listening over any live streaming, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before we commence, I like to request everyone to recite durood sharif and salat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is reported to have mentioned, inna min afdali ayyamikum yawm al-jum'ah. The best of days is the day of Jum'ah. In some riwayat and narrations, wa huwa afdala min yawm al-fitr wa min yawm al-nahr. It is greater in the eyes of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala than Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. It is the most virtuous of days on which the sun rises. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, فَأَكْثِرُوا عَلَيَّ الصَّلَاةَ فِيهِ فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ مَعْرُوضَةٌ عَلَيَّ. So increase your salawat, your recital of durood and salam upon me, because that durood and salam is presented before me. That so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, send durood and salam. Imagine our names are being taken in the bargah, in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There cannot be a greater virtue and ni'mat than that. So we should try every Jum'ah to recite in abundant salat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created such an amazing system that on a Jumu'ah we get to participate in some sort of discussion regarding and pertaining to our spirituality and our connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Some important aspects with regards to the global ummah, some important aspects with regards to our own neighborhood sometimes. It is an amazing system that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has put in place, that from east to west, north to south, Muslims, 2 billion of them, have this opportunity that on a Jum'ah they can participate in this sort of discussion. And every one of these discussions are beneficial. Every one of them nourish us spiritually. Whether we remember what was mentioned in the last Jum'ah or we don't remember, just like how we don't remember sometimes what we ate yesterday or the day before, but can we say that it didn't nourish us? It definitely nourished us. It definitely helped us. It is the reason why we are alive today. So even though we may not have remembered what was mentioned, but it helped us, it nourished us, it boosted us spiritually. And our intention in participating in these particular discussions, both for the speakers as well as for the listeners, is that we should make amal, practice, put into life, put into practice, imbibe within our lives. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai, na nari hai. When a person makes amal, then that is what makes him go forward in life. And that should be our intention, that we are going to imbibe, we are going to practice, we are going to put into our lives whatever is discussed, whatever advices are given, and thereafter we will see that we are moving forward spiritually. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of that amal. There are many, many things that can be discussed on a Jumu'ah occasion, and one of the most difficult tasks is to select what to speak about on a Jumu'ah occasion, because the time is limited, and what we need to speak about needs to be spoken about. I thought of touching on a few aspects, but mainly with regards to the global congregation that is going to be happening in Makkah Mukarrama, in Medina Munawwara, in the coming days, inshaAllah. But before we speak about that, today is May Day, or what they call Workers' Day, and it is a day which is commemorated globally as Workers' Day. And on this day also, we as Muslims should also, both employers and employees, both of us should be reflecting upon our condition with regards to our work and our workers. And in the light of global economic crisis that is coming about, perhaps employers should look at some sort of extra compensation. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses and He gives based on what we spend. I remember when we were studying in Darul Uloom Karachi, Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi now, he used to tell us that never ever in the history of Darul Uloom, whilst he has been the principal for many, many decades, did he increase the provisions of the asatiza, of the talaba, of the students, except that that came back many, many fold. So this should be our thinking. Yes, prices are going up. Yes, there is food crisis. There is expense crisis that is happening. And people ask me that, Maulana, is the price going to go down? First of all, I don't know how Maulana is going to know that, whether it's going to go down or not. But we never saw prices going down in our lives. In fact, one person was telling me that do cheeze jab badh jaati hai, when two things increase, then they don't come down. One, ghar ka kharcha, the expenses of the house. Dusra, aadmi ka pet, the stomach of the man. A lady's stomach still comes down after it becomes big, but a man's stomach generally doesn't come down. That is just on the lighter side. But nevertheless, prices don't come down. We have to manage our expenses. But manage our expenses not in cutting down on people's hukuk and their rights. In those things we should be spending, and try and be the better one who fulfills his hukuk and his rights, his obligations in a better manner. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, generally when something was due, he would always pay more than what was obligated upon him. Always. He was a better, the one who fulfilled his obligations in the better manner. That is from the side of the employers, that they must look at that. From the side of the employees, we must always look at, is it that we are fulfilling our obligations in the best possible manner? إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. The Quran says that the person, the best person who you could employ is a person who is qawi, who is able to fulfill his work diligently, he is knowledgeable, he is professional in his approach, he's got good akhlaq and good character, al-ameen, and he is trustworthy. Trustworthy with regards to his trust between himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trustworthy with regards to his obligations between himself and his employees, that time that is given, that is a trust, and all of these things. So this is one particular aspect that I thought we should touch on in today's Jum'ah discussion. It is a very, very important consideration. And the other aspect I thought that we should touch on is the aspect of the global ummah. The more you look at and you study and you see global conditions, the more you see that the time for this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming closer and closer to rise and to prosper. The ummah is going to come out of the trenches that it finds itself in. And there is great amount of hope. And all of it started with Al-Aqsa flood, Tufanul Aqsa, that happened in 2023. And the effects of that are still happening now and today. And we must identify within ourselves, every one of us have got a role to play. Everyone. It's not only the ulama, not only the huffaz, every professional person, every person who is involved in whatever field has got a role to play in the upliftment of this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we living very, very far away from where the action is actually happening may not be called on to fight in the front lines or anything like that, but that does not mean we do not have a role to play. We must identify what is the potential within us, and we must unleash that potential and play that very, very important role. Just to give you one example of how people are involved in activism, in creating awareness. Look at this global freedom flotilla that has started to sail. Hundreds and hundreds of boats. They are over 1,000 kilometers away from Gaza. Amongst them, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Just because they have got a sense of humanity. If we can't join them, at least we should be making dua for them. Even if they don't reach Gaza, that awareness that they create globally about what is going on there is such an important aspect and a role that those people are playing in the upliftment, inshallah, of this ummah and the emancipation and freedom of the people of Gaza and Palestine, and ultimately, inshallah, of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make it successful in its endeavors, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala free Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa from the hands of the oppressors and return it into the hand of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, then I felt, like I said, we should discuss about the global congregation that is going to be happening. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat. Hajj is known months. And those known months commenced and they began the minute the moon of Eid al-Fitr was sighted. The minute that moon of Eid al-Fitr was sighted, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat. Then the months of Hajj have commenced. And indeed it is not going to be possible for every single Muslim to go for Hajj every single year. From the 2 billion, maybe 2 million will attend the Hajj. 1,000th of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they go as a delegation and on behalf of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even if we may not be able to be there with them on the plains of Arafat, but we must be there with our heart and our souls. Our heart and our souls. Shahre mehboob hoga jahan bhi kahi. Shahre mehboob hoga jahan bhi kahi. Aashiqon ka suna hai wahi hai watan. Phir Madine ki lazzat ko main kya kahun. Kaash hota Madine mein mera watan. Kis tarah main kahun dil se ae dosto. Zindabad ae watan, zindabad ae watan. He says that our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, Shahre Mehbub Hoga Jahabi Kahi, wherever the city of the beloved is, I have heard that that is the city of the lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the city of the lover of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we should be connected with them. We should be making dua for the Hujjaj Ikram, and that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make their journey easy for them. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant them Hajj Mabroor Maqbool. We are taught du'as in the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, where Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam taught us to make du'a, Allahumma ghfir lil hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj. Oh Allah, forgive the haji and forgive whoever the haji makes du'a and maghfirat for. For each of them we must make du'a, and of course they will be making du'a for us. And like that, we are connected and our hearts are also in the plains of Arafat. From this very weekend, many, many Hujjaj from South Africa are going to be departing upon the journey. They are going to be going to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, to the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That city to which Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam made hijrat towards. That city with regards to which Nabi alayhi salat, it is mentioned that Nabi alayhi salatu was salam had immense love for Al-Madinatul Munawwara. He would make dua, O Allah, make us love Medina like our love, like the love we had or we have for Makkah Mukarramah. And not only that, let our love for Medina be more intense than the love we had for Makkah Mukarramah. This dua Rasulullah would make. It is mentioned in the ahadith that when Nabi alayhi salatu was salam was coming back after some travel to Medina Munawwara, then he would spur on his ride to move a little faster so that he could reach Medina Munawwara quicker. Uregi hawa se jo khaak Medina, uregi hawa se jo khaak Medina, ہم ایسے غباروں میں مستور ہوں گے. And he would remove his upper garment so that the sand and the dust of Medina can settle upon his upper garment. So even though we might not be able to go now, but our hearts should be connected to Medina Munawwara. And I remember recently, I mean a few years ago, I heard from my Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, one incident that happened with his father, Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan and the author of Ma'ariful Quran. What a masterpiece tafsir it is, and I would like to appeal to everyone that we should have a copy of that and we should actually read the tafsir of Ma'ariful Quran in English. It has been translated into English. And it is a way and means of us to be connected to the Holy Quran. So nevertheless, he says that my father on one occasion was at the Rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would never get the courage to stand very close to the gates of the Rawda. He always used to stand at a little distance. And his thought was that how I'm such a sinful person, a weak person. How can I, with what face can I present myself at the right close to the gates of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he was on one occasion just like that, presenting his salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there were others who were very, very close to the gates of the Rawda Sharif. And a thought crossed my father's mind. And that thought was that look at how fortunate these people are that they get the courage to stand so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the thought that crossed his mind. Subhanallah. He said, precisely at that moment, I heard a voice, and that voice came from the Rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that voice said, and I'm translating, that kehdo, tell them. And if that voice, Mufti Taqi Usmani told us, if that voice did not say kehdo, my father would have probably kept that a secret for his whole life and he would have never told us. But because that voice said, Keh do, tell them that whoever is close to my sunnat is close to me, no matter where he might be in the world. And whoever is far away from my sunnat is far away from me, even though he might be very, very close to the gates of my rawdah. Subhanallah, what a lesson that is for us, that we can also be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by being close to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi would say, Naqshe qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. The footsteps of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, they will take us and lead us ultimately to Jannah. There is no way of reaching Jannat and getting close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala other than the way of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore I would like to appeal to all of us to start imbibing within our lives the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله. Indeed, most certainly, with a double emphasis, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, there is for you, and in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, it should have been, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. There is taqdeemu ma haqquhu ta'khir. That means that normally you say uswatun hasanatun fi rasulillah. There is a good, a perfect example in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the rule of Arabic grammar is that when you, what is supposed to come later, if you bring it forward, then the meaning of that is only. It gives that meaning. So for example, if I say Zaydun fil bayt, Zayd is in the house. That is how I translate it. But if I said fil bayti Zaydun, the other way around, then it means in the house is only Zayd, there's no one else in the house. That's what it means. In the first example, Zaydun fil bayt, it could mean that there might be, Zayd is in the house, but there might be others in the house also. It is only Zayd in the house. Fi Rasulillahi uswatun hasanatun means only in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's example is there a perfect example for you. There's no other perfect example for you than the perfect example that there is in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's life, sometimes we limit the sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to only certain outward aspects of our lives. And every sunnat is important. This beard that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us to grow is an important sunnah. The clothing and attire that he asked us to wear is an important sunnah. The salah that he asked us to perform is an important sunnah. But it goes beyond these aspects of sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Perhaps the greatest sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was his akhlaq and his character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And I remember Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would translate this verse verbatim. And indeed you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are on the highest pedestal of sublime character. That is a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's strategy is a sunnah. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's ability to select expertise from his sahaba and his ummah and to direct them in a particular cause, that is his sunnah as well. For example, one sahabi, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, asked him to go and master the Hebrew language, which was the language of the Jews. But he asked him to go and master that. And within days that sahabi was able to master that. That was a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to recognize the potential that is there in the ummah and to use that potential for the upliftment of this ummah. That is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of these are sunnah, and his akhlaq and his character is sunnah. So I would like to leave us today that the Hujjaj are going to Makkah Mukarrama, to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. We can be with them just by implementing in our lives the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.